I'm thinking tonight about the word attrition. It means to wear away or to lose by increment a little at a time. Two armies sometimes will meet up with one another and they're evenly matched, and they'll fight, and then they'll settle down to what they call a war of attrition. And they'll shoot at one another a little, and they'll wait, and they'll maneuver, and the attempt is to wear one another out by a little at a time, just taking a little away at a time, and a little away at a time. The devil has a plan. If he could, he would destroy us all in an instant. If he could, he'd destroy our faith in an instant. He'd take it all away. But he don't have that kind of power. But he does what he can do. And if he can destroy you at one time, he will. And if he can't, he'll take it any way he can. But his most subtle way is by attrition. Is to set things that just take a little, wear a little, it's abrasive, it wears. Just a little it going, a little going, and it wears. Just a little at a time. I've noticed it in all life, have you? It's natural even. It's in nature. Things don't last without constant care. You ever notice that? I've noticed my home. I've lived in that home since 91. And I've noticed over the years that I can get a lot of work done and get it to a certain place and say, we'll just leave it like that right there. But the problem with it won't stay like that right there. Before long, something's happened, and I go to put a light switch on, and the light won't come on. Because there is a natural attrition and wear to everything that moves, everything that operates. There's a natural, just a natural attrition to it. I've seen water pipes together, and just the bumping of the pipes, just over the years, just that little bit of bumping as they take on pressure, I've actually seen them spring a leak and there's a wore place on that pipe of years of attrition, of just wearing a little bit. And it's in all life. I've looked around home at some of the farms that they have around there, and they you can see that at one time that it was a beautiful place. Somebody cared and they put a lot into making it, but it didn't stay that way. When someone stopped paying attention, the natural thing that happened, it didn't get better. The paint didn't get brighter. The roof didn't get better. The grass didn't stay better. And the yard didn't stay groomed. And the fence didn't stay. And all around it, the trees didn't stay pruned in the right time. But over the time, there was a natural. It didn't happen one year, but it happened over time. Storms came. The sun shined in on it. Sun's a good thing, but you know sun has a certain quality to it that will fade things away. Right, the wind itself, I imagine this Oklahoma wind can do some attrition. A lot more than it does up home. But I have noticed up home in the mountains, up on the rock formations on the top of the mountains, you can go up there. And right on top of the mountains, you can go up and get you a handful of sand. Right on top of some of those mountains, a handful of sand. And you can look, and in the rocks, you can see grooves cut. Air against rock. But over time, a little bit emotional, even air, going against rock. As ages go by, it will grind on it, and it's abrasive, and it'll wear it, And there's a certain amount of attrition that happens, and it erodes away the very foundation of the rock. Do you know that marriages without work, without maintenance, will wear? Do you know that a society without constant upkeep and moral compass will erode? There is a certain amount of attrition that happens in everything that's around you. I have noticed giant trees in my life, and I've had an appreciation for trees. I like trees, and I've noticed some gigantic trees that was around. And you know, it even happens to them too. After a while, when I first moved into Green Bank, there was a tree there. It was a main corner of all that in there, and I think there was a monument set there that corner was a big monument land monument there, and it was a gigantic oak tree. Some years after I was there, that oak tree part of it fell. It just left a big part of a stump sticking there, and the tree itself fell away. And then some years after that, the tree had rotted down till it was just a part of a stump. And today, there isn't a stump there. There isn't a sign that there was ever something so magnificent as this gigantic oak tree that used to stand there. And people recognize this, that this is a boundary line. This is a boundary, a monument, something that you can count on. It hasn't moved for 200 years. This has been something that's been stable here. But time and process of time, and it began to weather, it rot from the inside, and before long, the whole thing's gone. And if it hadn't been for somebody to set a monument and say that it used to be there, it would have been gone out of memory. Because things changes. And we would be wise tonight to consider that the devil is after us any way that he can get after us. And if he can't get you in the short haul, he'll try to get you in the long haul. And if you don't make a diligent effort to maintain your spiritual life, the scripture says of it that the kingdom suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Those that become violent, passionate, in other words, hot about it, that I am not going to let my salvation erode away. I'm going to keep it up to date. Daily up to date, I'm going to maintain it. There's a certain amount of maintenance that has to go in everything that you do. I have a van. I drive it between 30 and 40,000 miles a year in traveling. And it would be nice to, most every trip I start out and say, all right, I've checked the belts out and they look good, and the hoses, they look good, and I've got an oil change and transmission fluid looks good, and radiator's full, and got some washer cleaner in there, and I start out by saying, I just want to leave that van right like that. Got some new tires on it now, and it's in good shape. It's ready to go till the next trip. But it'd be nice if you could say, one time shot, put tires on it, never have to fool with it again. Put oil in that thing, never have to, it's greased up, oiled up, good for go, never have to do it in the life of the van again. Just one trouble. It don't work that way. And folks, it don't work that way in the Lord either. What? Yesterday's blessings, and we heard the testimony, and the Lord would have us to do it. And look back to those things and know that the Lord done it. But we can't rely on yesterday's blessings. We can't rely on what just happened yesterday, because it won't do for today. It won't do for tomorrow. We need something for today to keep it alive and active, because the devil wants to come along and make us stagnated on that, and attrition will happen. And if we ain't careful, there'll come a time that we will not be able to believe, because we've allowed it to erode away. And I'm remembering a man that I talked to some years ago. He was a very religious man, at least. And I remember some things happened to him in his life, some very hard things. And I was talking to him, and he told me, he said, I've lost my faith. He said, I used to just believe so much in God.
I believed he was able. I believed in it. But he said, I've lost my faith. I thought that was an awful thing to hear that he had lost his faith. Did it happen overnight? All of a sudden, I've got a real faith in God, and tomorrow I don't have any. But it happened because of the incremental things that happened in his life. And he got discouraged with it and didn't keep it up. And before long, it eroded. It eroded. I'd like to look at the 24th proverb. Starting with the 30th verse. It says, I went by the field of the slothful. It's amazing what you can tell about people. I'm going to use Solomon's words and we'll leave it with Solomon's authority. But Solomon said he knew something about somebody. Just by looking. I went by the field of the slothful. How did he know he was slothful? Because there was a lot of things not done. Do you know it'll tell on you? Oh, it'll tell on you. And I want to make this point. Just because you're an ambitious, diligent person in worldly affairs don't necessarily mean that you're a diligent person in spiritual affairs. There is a very lazy spiritual people that are very diligent when it comes to earthly things. This reading here, if you will, like for you to look at it this way, that and believe this, that the scripture was talking a lot more than just the idea of somebody in his field and his vineyard. But the analogy would be more for the eternal things. And he's really talking about and trying to get to us more than just, although it is somewhat important, more than the natural thing. But he wants to bring this analogy to our minds so we can understand the working of spiritual things. And what happens to the soul left unattended? You may be all oiled up, gassed up, got new tires, got good shine, wax. You may have all that done, but if you don't continue it on, it's going to erode. It is not going to keep up as the ages go by. This, the life of living for the Lord is one that is a daily pursuit of the Lord. It is something that you have to have it on a daily basis. The scripture says the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed. Day by day. He's renewed. He's got to be renewed day by day. There's something that happens that keeps him young. Something happens that keeps his passion up, his desire up. I have always been amazed, and I like to tell the testimonies of it, and I like to see it among those that are around me. Of those that was saved when they was young, and then when they get old, they still got the testimony. It's a wonderful testimony. It encourages my heart to see it. I always love to talk to Brother Vader McMillan. Most of you here knew him. But he got to be a rather old man. And I'd love to talk with Brother Vader. You know why? Because he would tell the testimony of getting saved of about 18 years old and never looking back. And he was an old man and he was able to say, I've been living for the Lord 50 years. I've been living for the Lord 60 years. He was able to tell that and you could see the fire still in there. You could still say the love for the scriptures. You could still see that the man had maintained and he didn't allow the natural attrition that would happen if he just laid down and said, I've got enough. I've been through enough. And just laid down, you could see a man that still was pursuing after him. And it was encouraging to me because I remember always saying, well, if Brother Vader done it, well, then maybe I can do it too. Well, if God gave him grace, then God can give me grace too. And I appreciate those that are faithful. We a lot of times are not careful to let the devil point us to the failures. But I want to tell you, I don't look to the failures in people's lives. I look to the overcoming of those failures. That's the blessing. That's to say, that person went through a hard thing like that. There was a failure possibly in their life. But God
kept them through all that. And they're able to go on. They didn't allow themselves to be wore out, wore down, give up. Solomon said, I went by the field of the slothful. This person had something that was special. It was a blessing. The potential was great. He had land. Now, that may mean more than it does now, but it still meant a lot today. Land has a certain benefit to it. Do you know what you can do with land? You know what you can't do without it? Trying to plant a garden in an apartment building. Plant you an orchard in there. See how well it did. There's a certain amount of freedom to own land. There's a certain amount of ability to do it. This man had all the potential because he owned something and he had something. The scripture says that I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. He was empty of his understanding. The great potential, at one time there was obviously a field there. But there wasn't no field there anymore. It had been grown up. And he looked and he said, a man of that don't have understanding. What don't he understand? He don't understand a principle that is obvious to all that will look at it. If you don't get out there and do something with your field, by the natural processes, it's going to grow thorns. You know what those thorns represent? Evil habits. Evil habits. Without a diligently working of your field, your life is going to develop an evil habit. And evil habits that you're going to have to deal with that will be in all your life. Void of understanding? Sure, this man was void of understanding because he couldn't realize. He didn't have the understanding that a little labor now makes benefit later. I benefit from what I do now for later. I get out now and maybe get blisters on my hand. I get out there and cut the weeds out. I get out there and turn the ground. It's hard work. It's labor. I can't reach down and eat a handful of dirt. It doesn't mean no good. I can't do that. There's no immediate benefit to it. But there's no understanding with this man to realize that it takes that industry, labor, putting forth, being diligent. It does something to ever see the blessings at the end. And the man was void of the understanding that if I do nothing, all of this is going to be destroyed. But if I do something, like parallel ends, there's different contrasting ends. To do nothing means that it comes to ruin. To labor means that it comes to fruit and blessings. It comes to the ability to feed my family. It comes to the ability to have certain qualities and things in my life that I'm not going to have without it. I'm going to have the ability to help somebody else. I'm going to have the ability to feed somebody. I'm going to have the ability to bless my home, my family. There's going to be a certain amount of comfort and peace that rests there because I don't have to worry about where it's going to come from. And he said, there's a man, a slothful one, and he's void of understanding because I look at his field and he's not being diligent and he's got to be ignorant of it. He's lazy of it because there's so much potential there to obtain. And he's not going to ever obtain it because he don't put anything into it. The natural disposition is to erode away. You let your life erode away a little, and your children will make sure it erodes a lot in their life. And then their children won't know the difference in spiritual things at all. A little bit of giving in on it, the process begins to multiply itself. One briar begets many. Now up home we have, maybe you have it out here, but I think originally somebody came up with a brainstorm up there in West Virginia. And they got
what's called multiflora rose. And it was supposed to not be able, have the ability to spread. And it was a very dense briar. And it would have been excellent for making fence rows. And controlled, it could have been a very good thing. Well, some of those people that think a lot about those kind of things, they forgot something. That these seeds of these things would germinate if it passed through the digestive system of a bird. And the bird sure done what birds do. Because there become a plague of multiflora rose. It begatting itself. It just spreads and spreads. They've made a campaign of giving out stuff to spray that stuff with and try to kill that stuff and get rid of that stuff. And it has been a plague to farmers. It'll get into their fields and it will grow. And it is hard to handle just to go and try to cut it and work it out of there because it's a very heavy, dense briar that grows. And it grows, multiplies itself very quickly. That's the way briars are in our life. Given the room and opportunity, and the devil is very active about this, this is what the devil wants to do, is for us to let down enough to plant some of these habits in our life, and us not be diligent enough to root them out. Thinking that it is but a small thing and just one seed that ends up very small. But after a while, as it goes on, it gets harder and harder. And harder and harder. And before long, it becomes a hard thing to do. Me and my wife have been married for 13 years. And we have been on a pile of diets. A pile of them. We regularly go on diets. And because we're out and it's real easy to eat too much, then we were always talking about how to control that habit of, and controlling that. And it's something to live in a world where you have to do that. And I thank God for all the blessings we have, but it's a real thing of eating too much and having to watch and those kind of things. And I've noticed that once you lose hold of that thing, sometimes it's hard to get it back. And sometimes it gets, anybody ever died in here? Sometimes it gets real hard. It's depressing.
Do we have to raise our hand?
it gets real, you know what I'm saying? If you've done it, you know that sometimes you get on this and you try it and a week later, then nothing happens. And then another, and you think you're doing pretty good and you get on the scale and you're up 2 pounds. And you know what I'm talking about. And it becomes, what am I going to do? What am I going to do here? I mean, it's not working and it's all here and I've got it available. And folks, we face things. And you know, there's a natural thing that always happens when I eat too much. I get bigger. And you probably do too. And we need to control, and it takes something to do that. It takes something to get a hold of it. My point here is that we need the Lord to help us to understand what happens in this situation when we think we can get by. Because the devil's hard after every one of us. He is trying to change our social structure in this country, in our world around us, and he's trying to get us to bite in on it too. And he's trying to use certain pressures and certain things that will say that it doesn't matter. We need the Spirit of the Lord to help keep us sweet, full of the Holy Ghost, full of love and compassion for all people, and still stand firm against what the devil is trying to erode out of our moral compass.
That's right.
Because he's trying to erode it away. And when we fail to do that, we're going to develop briars in our own life, and all it takes is an acceptance until the next generation goes completely with it and is affected much more. I went by, he said, the field of the slothful.
The people that wasn't diligent about the affairs of their life, and it told on them immediately. I looked and seen people by the actions that they did, by the I'd like to say that in a spiritual sense too. I think that it becomes fairly obvious when people are letting down on their spiritual life. It'll tell in the talking, it'll tell in the verbiage, it'll tell in the way you conduct yourself, it'll tell in your disposition of life, it'll tell on you. It has to. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. And lo, it was grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. At some point, someone had went to the trouble and the great task and labor of building a wall out of rocks. If you've ever worked with that, you'll know that that's quite a job. And they took the time and they built a fortress. They built a protection. They built a barrier of solid things, of things that you could count on. Something that's not going to just, yeah, there's always some attrition to it. There's always some movement to it. But it's solid enough that it's easy maintained. You go around it and if something's kicked the rock off, you put it back on. But the writer said it went by it. And at one time somebody had built a safeguard against their garden. It was to keep the wild beasts from trampling it. It was to keep the wild beasts from coming and destroying it and eating it up all in a blast. But the wall was down. That wall represents what we don't want to think about a lot of times. That perfect law of liberty is a law unto us. Thank God for it. I like what David said. He said, I love thy law, O Lord. Why? Because it's a blessing to my soul. It builds a barrier around me. It gives me something to defend me against the devil, against the world around me that would come in against me. It's built some barriers in my life. We're most of the time we're of a people that don't tell me what to do. Don't lay a law on me. Don't put a rule on me. Don't tell me how fast to drive. Just don't lay it. And I, be honest with you, there's a lot of laws that don't make much sense to me as far as man-made goes. But David said, I love thy law. That eternal law. The protection and the barrier that was there. And it begins stone at a time. It wasn't all fall over at one time. There was no bulldozer come through this one. There was a rock that fell off and then another one. The heat and the cold moves things and things happen and stones fall away and the mortar between them begins to crumble. A little at a time and to look and say, it's only one stone of the wall. It's only one stone. It don't make any difference in the whole wall. That whole wall is made up of one stone at a time. Hooked together and built together. They're all important. We can't let them start being deteriorated. The wisdom of it is Lord, help us to know. Help us to know. Help us to live in this here in modern time, 2013. Lord, give us a vision of the truth. Give us a vision of right. Help us to know where to stand. Where those old ones stood before, we shouldn't discard that like many would like to just say, oh, that's just ancient, it's old, it's out of date, you just need to throw that away. You better be very careful about breaking this wall down. Because this thing has been tried and proved. It's a solid place. It's a place that protects the inside of it. It's a law. It's a rule. It's a safeguard. It's a standard. The standard marks the place. This is where the battle begins. This is where our defense lies. I'll go this far and I'll go no farther. This is where I'll fight for it right here. It's important, folks, to stand in the old paths and say, where is the way? Where is the good way? Lord, teach us the good way. Help us to still stand. Oh, it's no time to be lazy or indifferent about serving the Lord in 2013. It's more of a time to say, Lord, help us to be wise as serpents. and harmless as doves. Help us to be able to stand for the truth and understand the truth and know how to proclaim it. Not just from a head knowledge, but from a heart knowledge. To be able to say that God can do something is one thing, but then to declare with a full heart that I'm telling you He can do it. Because He done it for me. That's convincing. Oh, I pray that the Lord ain't going by our field and saying it's the field of the slothful. That the people are letting down the precious things that I have put up to guard them against the pitfalls of the devil. Lord, help us. He said, "Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction." In other words, he looked and he saw. It's an amazing thing, folks. Well, it shouldn't be. God's the author of it all. Is it a wonder that nature works a lot like the Spirit does when God created it all? There is so many parallels. Many, many parallels that run like that in God's Word and of His nature and of the whole universe made by one hand runs in one coordinated way as does the Spirit and all things with it. It's all God that runs it all. And because He does it, He looked and said, and I looked and I considered and I thought about it. And looked and see, what does this mean? What have I just seen? And I think He put it in the right place and understood it. That there is an attrition that happens in life. And the warning is to be diligent with your soul. The Scripture says to keep your heart with all diligence. Why is it so important? It said because of Olivet are the issues of life. All that you do, all that you comes to your ability, think, process, the whole thing comes from your perception of things from your heart. To keep your heart in the right way that you might see truth and understand it and be able to embrace it. Keep your heart. It says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. The idea here from Solomon was the idea that off at a long distance, here you come, a traveler, or someone comes. It's a long ways off, a long, long ways off. Got a long way to go. That's one that traveleth. Where'd he come from? And where's he going? And how's he going to get there? You know how he's going to get there? He's going to put one foot in front of the other. Yes. Pretty simple, isn't it? One foot in front of the other. Then the one foot in front of the other. Seems so lacking. I'm getting my big van and get that thing at about 75 miles an hour. I can clip off the miles. Cruise control. Just keep it going. But traveling wasn't like that. These people traveled by putting one foot in front of the other. And poverty comes on the soul. One step at a time. Hardly noticing the miles go by. Hardly knowing the years go by. The life goes by. Hardly noticing the opportunities that just went by me. Because it's there for so long. It's one that travels. One foot in front of the other, keeping going. By attrition, we lose our souls. Many people, by attrition, lose their souls. There is many people not here tonight that was here before. I've been around the saints since about 86. And there's a lot of people not here that was here. Because at one step at a time, one step at a time, they were like travelers. And they traveled by and attrition happened and things happened. And the loss of things happened and the loss of the ideas of it and the loss of the vision and the loss of the things around. And I say it not to condemn but only to challenge us not to be what, like one that traveleth. And being lazy, it just slips on by. And now the opportunity of being able to be some, the things have already gone. And I can't I can't reel them back. There's no going back on it. Time's already went by, and now I've walked and I've traveled one foot at a time, but all of a sudden I'm an old guy now, and I don't have the potential I did when I was young, and I don't have the mind that I did, and things are different now, and this is the way people come to poverty in their souls. They lose it just a little bit at a time. Without the real diligence of their life and really understanding that I need to be diligent for my soul. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. It isn't just starting off that matters. It isn't how fast you can run. There was a scripture of a man, you remember him. There was a man, and they sent a man off. I believe that was when they were sending word to David about his son being killed. Absalom had been killed, and so they sent a runner. And this other guy comes up and says, I'm a runner. I don't know, I may have this wrong, but that's the way I remember. He comes up and says, I'm a runner, let me run. Well, you don't have no message. What you got to say? Well, I got to say, we'll run. And he took off and he run, and he outrun the other guy too. But he didn't have nothing to say. Well, you need to know how fast you run in this thing. It's how you get there. And you got to get there. He run and he got to the king, and the king says, what of the battle? And he told him the battle, and he said, what of Absalom, the young man Absalom? I don't know about that. Stand aside. We see another runner coming here. You don't have it. You run all that way. You saved as much as you did, but you didn't have it. Folks, we got to have it when we get there. You can't just go without it. And what happens by attrition many times, it becomes hard. I've said this many times. I remember when I got saved, it was just glorious. I was so thankful to be saved. Woo! I was saved. Well, I ain't always been clapping and shouting like that. And I used to say it would have been a real good idea if the Lord would have just, when you get good and saved, that He just takes you on out of here. Okay, you're saved. Out of here. But it don't work that way. He leaves us here and we go through the abrasions. We go through the trials that rub against us and the people that run nature, and the natural course is a wearing down. I get tired. Anybody else in here get tired? Just get tired. I'm not tired of the Lord, but I get tired. I thank the Lord for what He has me do. And don't think in any way it's anything less than that. I'm just telling you, I get tired sometimes. After being out for weeks at a time, sometimes I get tired. And I go home, and I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I'll get tired and things, and somebody will say something about Scripture or something. I'll say, my head's too full. I'm too tired. I love the Scripture and I love the Lord. But I'm tired. And the natural disposition is to wear. We're tired of body. The old man, you young people that's got the world by the tail right now, the Lord tarries, you're going to get old. And your knees are not going to work like they used to. And you're going to be tired. And then you're going to understand me better. And you're going to understand them that just ain't a surprise. You're going to understand it because the natural courses happen. And there's a natural course that happens that you and I got to fight against spiritually too. It's a natural attrition against our souls to wear us out. He said, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, one step at a time, and thy want as an armed man. An armed man. Can you get the picture of that? You're not armed. Okay? And the doors swing open back there, and you don't have no armor. And here comes a big old guy, and he's got a shield, and he's got a sword. And he pulls that thing out, and he's coming right at you. Now, what are you thinking? Every step he takes, what are you thinking? That's what the illustration of this is. He's coming for you. Slothfulness, laziness, poverty's coming for your soul like an armed man. And you can see him taking one step closer each time. Here comes disaster. Here comes complete loss. Here comes something that I cannot fight against. I can't whip him. I can't get around it. I'm not armed, and he is, and here he comes, and he's drawing back, and he's getting closer. You finish it. Because this is what he said of the field of the slothful and of the man without understanding, that he don't know that the end of that is the destruction of your eternal soul. By attrition, more people will be in hell than anything else. Just because they did not take the time and effort to be serious about their souls. Never really put out the desire and ambition for it. Never really fought for it. Never really wanted to put the rock back on the wall. Never really wanted to be the one that really plowed that land up. Because it looks too far in the future. I don't want to be the one that really works it. But I'm going to tell you, there is great blessings in the diligent heart. Those that will seek God with their whole heart, God will work on their behalf. And what fruit is there to eat from? What is the fruit? It's peace. It's peace. And it's joy. And it's satisfaction. It's the ability to lay down and know all is well with my soul. It's the ability to know that no matter what happens in this sinful world, I got God with me. That God's pleased with my life and what I'm doing, and no matter what else happens, I'm all right. I love this phrase. It sticks in my mind. I can't lose. I love it. I can't lose. It don't matter what happens. I can't lose. I can't be beaten. It may look like it, but I can't be beaten. I'm going to win in the end, folks. If you stay with the Lord, you're going to win in the end. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it might be coming on, no matter what the devil may be doing, you're a winner tonight. Because at the end of it's God, and He's a winner. And He's going to see us a winner all the way through too. I want to think of another scripture. It's a scripture in Revelations, and I'm not going to turn to it, but I think you're familiar with it. There was a scripture in there that was talking about because you lost your first love. You left it. Your first love. That says something to me that there was somebody that was once there. You had to leave it. You had to have had it. And on all that God was concerned about, the Lord commended them for their somewhat diligent effort, for their stands about many things. They wouldn't abide evil. They did many good works and all these things. But He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. You left your first love. You didn't maintain that. Now, those people was not destroyed. They were in the path of it. They had lost the essential while holding to the less essential. Understand what I mean? They had left this that God saw and said, it is sure ruin for you. You better repent. You better go back and rekindle it. The basis of all that we do is built on a relationship of love with the Lord. And that can erode. It can erode away. It did with them. They left it. Do you think they was just in love with the Lord and then woke up one morning and wasn't? Or do you think through a series of life, a series of events of life, and just living life, that they come to a place probably of decisions, of simply not being as diligent in the relationship and doing those things? They lost, or they left. They moved away from the very essential thing that was the salvation of their souls. Because eventually, without love, everything else is going to crumble away. Lord, help us tonight that we would go back and rekindle that. Help us, Lord, to be fervently in love with You. Help us, Lord, to have that passion that drives me. As Paul says, the love of Christ constraineth me. What was he talking about? He was saying that I have a motivating force in my life. There's nothing like it. It wasn't so much his love at that point, but his acceptance of Christ's love. That I accept, how can I possibly, in my awareness of my relationship and his love to me, how could I possibly disappoint him? The love of Christ constrains me. Now when I'm tempted, I think of that constrainment. Oh Lord, I wouldn't want to disappoint you for anything. It constrains my actions. It makes me to get the plow. It motivates me. Lord, I want more of you. And he says, then plow. Plow and plant. Plow and plant my seed into your ground. Take on me your word, which is Christ himself. Take it on me. Plant it in your life. Bear fruit to it. You want more of me? See, we like to think. Folks, this is what we like to think. We like to think that if I get, I want the Lord so I can pray, Lord, I want to be more like you and Shazam. I'm more like him. I want to be more like you, Lord. And the lightning flashes and thunder rolls. Marty's that way now. He's more loving. He's more kind, just like Jesus. Folks, don't work that way. You plant, you sow, you reap, you labor, you work. God creates it in the events of life. He makes Christ's image in you. It don't come just out of the closet. I ain't saying he can't do it. I'm saying he don't do it. He works through our will. He works through our passion, our desire for it. He works through it. If we don't maintain it and keep it, by the natural things, it'll erode away. But if we keep it and maintain it, we do the maintenance regularly on it. It's fuller in our life. I've told this story many times. I was praying one week, Lord, or maybe a couple weeks. My prayer was, among my other prayers, was, Lord, I want to be more like you. It was what I meditated on when I'd walk and do things, and my prayer was, Lord, I want to be more like you. So the Lord allowed a trial into my life. He let something happen. And it came about in a way that's the Lord. I had a neighbor lady, and she's an elderly lady, and I used to do whatever she would ask of me. I loved to do stuff for her. She had needs. She'd call me. Never once in the years that she would call and say, I have something. I need you. Could you help me? Never once did I hesitate. I always went immediately to help her. Well, one of her family members was there, and he got kind of twisted up about something that happened. Well, I'll tell you what it was. I like to deer hunt, and I do my own butchering, and I had got a couple deer, and I'd done it, and I had some deer bones. And I had my yard was completely fenced, okay? Completely fenced. And I had a dog, and it was in another fence, inside the fence, in its pen. And I would keep the bones, and some of them was in the garbage, but some of them I'd give to my dog. Well, this guy's dog got in under my fence, got the trash bones, and took them back over in this guy's yard. And he got mad at me for his dog getting into my yard, getting my trash, taking it into his yard, and he was mad at me. So we come home from a meeting, and this guy he drunk some, and he was drinking, and he comes over, and he starts really getting on me about how unethical I was, and how I, and I was just saying, okay, I'll take care of it. And I did. I did it with a good spirit. I wasn't mad. I'll take care of it. And I did. I went and took care of it. So his dog couldn't get over there anymore. But inside me wasn't acting exactly like the outside of me was. The outside was doing that, okay. But the inside was saying there's something just not quite right about this. Something's twisted around about this. Well, my wife, she said, well, we'll pray for him. Well, we'll pray for him. And we started praying for him. But I was still, something troubled me. Because there's something wrong with that. It wasn't fair. It wasn't just. So I started telling the Lord about it. And I started telling the Lord, I said, if he would have asked me, I'd have cleaned his yard up. I cleaned their yard up many times. When the lady asked me, I would have cleaned their yard up for them. I'd have done anything they wanted. And I started telling the Lord, I said, Lord, this ain't fair. It ain't right. Here I was just doing nothing but good. And then they treat me like I'm a criminal. They treat me bad. And the Lord said, yeah, that's what they done to me. And you've been praying. You want to be more like me? Now here's your chance. And I got an understanding. He said, I went by the field of the slothful and him that was void of understanding. I had an understanding now. I wanted to be like the Lord, but I didn't want what it took to be like the Lord. What do you think you're going to go through if you're like the Lord? Maybe what he went through? Possibly in the same way he did it? Sure. Sure. And why not? Are we better than he is? I thank the Lord for those things. But I'm going to tell you, they will either wear you out or they'll polish you up. The same it takes in polishing, it's abrasion. It's a wearing and a shining of the surface. And it can either shine or it can wear. And that part is up to how we accept the challenges of our life. So my burden tonight is that we settle in our hearts that I'm going to go the whole way. I'm going to go the whole way and I'm going to see the end of this thing all the way through. By your grace, Lord, no matter what it is, help me to be like you. And help me not to be. When you come by my place, I'm not talking about my house. Well, if you just come by my place, y'all look at the front of it. And don't be looking around the back. You look at the front of it. Several years ago, we painted the house and we painted it all the way around the side from the road coming this way. And we painted the shutters and we done the landscaping. It's real pretty around the front and we did it all the way around this side. And how many years ago that been? Well, we didn't paint the back and it's still not painted. I do have the paint. I bought it at the same time, but it's in there. It's been five or six years. I've never even scraped it. It's just as rough looking as it can be. You can look at it from one side, fine. The other side, that's the testimony of my house. But Lord, help me that it not be the testimony of my soul. That there is a place that I've left just undone because it's worth too much for that. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.